You take it, Maxine.
Blog Talk Radio.
Take what? Hello.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
Welcome, listeners. This is Jeannie, and my friend and co-host Maxine is on with me. Hi, Maxine.
Hi, Jeannie. How are you?
I'm doing great, and you know what? We should just get right to our guest because he's here and he's ready, and we don't want to waste any of this time. We were just talking about what a great topic it was. Here it is. I started reading a wrong bio. This is Brian Hausman, and he's on his book, How You Always Meant to Parent. Brian has been serving in full-time ministry since 1993. He has had the privilege of speaking at more than 200 conferences and countless churches, schools, camps, and military bases. He has led student and parent programs from coast to coast, as well as several international locations. Brian's specialty is creating parenting and family events. He writes for Parenting Teenagers and Parent Life. He's written 4 books, Parenting for a Lifetime, isn't that the truth? Engaging Your Teen's World, Teen Savvy Parenting, and Raising Responsible Teens in a Digital World. Brian has been featured as a parenting expert on Fox, ABC, and NBC affiliates. He and his wife, Mona, have been married for 22 years and have 2 teenagers, Bailey and Ashlon. Is that right? Did I say those names right, Brian?
You did. That's correct.
Nice names. Welcome, Brian. We're so glad to have you today.
I'm so glad to be here with you guys. It's good to be on the air with you.
Yeah, it's fun. And you called in earlier, and we were in the middle of praying for you in the show, and I think I may not have gotten you soon enough. So we are now ready to go here. Okay, Brian, tell us just a touch about yourself that I missed. What should I have said
that you missed?
That you didn't say.
Oh, mercy. Oh, well, I was
you
a
need
youth
mercy.
Pastor for about, yeah, I was a youth pastor for about 13 years. And then 12 years ago, resigned from my staff position and started writing and speaking full time. And so that's how we started this whole ministry of 360 Family. And it's been an amazing process.
I assume the two jobs overlapped, right? I mean, didn't you start writing and speaking maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that
absolutely
means you were very successful at it. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I want to start with a statistic that you stated that I found a little startling, although not as much as you'd think. You say that statistics show 72% of teens prefer spending time with their families. And that's not what most people think.
No, well,
talk
I think
about
it's partly
that?
Because, yeah, I think it's partly because we as parents, we buy into the same pop culture lies that we think our kids buy into. You know, you watch any teen movie or teen show, it's always that the parents are aloof, you know, the parents are uneducated, they don't know what's going on with their kids, and the kids are always out doing their own thing. And then, you know, we even hear from our own children from time to time, you know, in real world, you know, hey, why can't I go here, or why can't I have this, or why don't you trust me, or, you know, always want to go to friends' houses. And so, you know, we start to believe that our kids want to be anywhere other than home. But that's just not reality. Several years ago, MTV, the cable channel, did a survey among thousands of teenagers. And the question they actually asked them was, where do you feel most comfortable in your own skin? Like, where do you feel most comfortable just being yourself and letting your hair down? And 72% of all teenagers said, when I'm at home with my mom or my mom and dad. And so that should be a real encouragement to us as parents that our kids, they may not have the words to be able to say, you know, thank you for the influence that you're having in my life. But the reality is that's where they feel safe is at home. And that's one of the core things that the kids are looking for is they're looking for boundaries and they're looking for safety. We just had a long conversation with our own kids and another family at our church about this week, about how kids, sometimes when they do unhealthy things or they get outside of God's boundaries, that we as parents, you know, tend to fly off at the handle when we find out about this stuff. But the reality is so often, I think they want to get caught. You know, they're looking because
they
want boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, they're looking for someone to protect them.
Yeah, when
I love
was,
how you just
when
said
I,
that, Brian. This is Maxine, but I can tell you that's really, really true from when my kids were home, and now they're all parents themselves. But my son, at about 16 or 17 years old, we were in the center of our town we lived in Southern Oregon, and it was a parade weekend, and so the park was all set up with different things for people to do and a parade, and et cetera. But he was he didn't know his dad and I were behind him, and he's walking ahead of us, and we spotted him with his best buddy, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of them, Mike and Jason, they're walking along, and we notice they're chewing on something, and their mouth is full of this chew stuff. And So pretty soon we caught up with them, and we said, Mike, well, his dad slaps him on the back, Mike, what is that? And he basically swallowed it or spit it out. And how did you out I was doing that? And I said, well, Mike, you know, God wants us to know these things about you. And so we just all shrugged it off. But he got, you know, got caught because God wants him to get caught. So it's a perfect thing. They love the boundaries. And then we pointed him to a booth that had a little pamphlet about mouth cancer. How did you, the title of this book really intrigues me, How You Always Meant to Parent. Do you think parents live with a lot of regrets because they don't live up to how they mean to parent?
Oh, I think so. I think so often as parents, we kind of look back with a sense of regret of things that we wish we would have done or conversations we wish we would have had. And, you know, I think that so often we actually think we had the conversations, you know, like, We always meant to talk with our kids about sexual boundaries, or we meant to talk with our kids about having a good work ethic or whatever the conversation may be. But the reality is just life happens and it gets busy.
Yeah.
And before you know it, the opportunity is gone. You know, I was talking with a mom at a PTA meeting I was leading a couple of years ago, and it was all about sexual boundaries and pop culture. And the mom came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I really hear what you're saying, and I believe what you're saying. She said, I bought a book for my son, but I'm afraid to share it with him because I don't want to open up something that he's not ready for yet. And it was the book was Every Young Man's Battle. And I said, that's a great book. My son and I read it when he was 13. And I said, how old is your son? And she said, 15. And I said, ma'am, I hate to be in a discouragement to you, but there's nothing in that book that your son has not learned in the locker room of school already. And I think sometimes we as parents that, you know, we meant to have those conversations, but we just never got around to it, and then the opportunity was gone. So that's really where the book came from, is regardless if you are just now starting to parent or if your parents are in their 20s or 30s and giving you grandkids, that we never stop parenting. You know, we parent for a lifetime. And so regardless of where you are, you can stop now and just say, God, I just want to recommit myself to you as mom or as dad. And I, from this day forward, want to be the kind of parent that you always meant for me to be.
And, you know, my voice distressed me when I heard myself. Kind of sounded like I didn't want to parent for a lifetime. It's the greatest privilege I have. I love nothing I love more than parenting. I want to clear that up for the listeners. You say that the failure to see little things tends to paralyze parents. What do you mean by that?
Well, not necessarily the failure to see little things. I think it's a failure to address little things that we we get paralyzed as parents, that we start thinking that, well, kind of like that mom, the PTA mom, that, well, if I talk about this, then my kid's not ready for it. Or I don't want to address this and make a big deal about it. Or I don't want to make this seem titillating. And so it's these little things that, that lead to big things. And so we don't ever get around to having those conversations or to addressing the issue. And it becomes paralyzing to us as parents. We live in constant fear of, I'm going to mess my kid up, or my kid is my kid will lose confidence in me or respect for me if they know my own mistakes in the past, or fear that I'm going to say something wrong. And so we end up saying nothing, you know, or we live in fear of failure. You know, we just think that, you know, I think so often as mom and dad, we find ourselves where maybe one day as mom, you just lose your cool. You know, and you raise your voice repeatedly during the day. You find yourself yelling, or as dad, you know, you feel guilt after guilt because you come home and you got nothing left to invest in your kids because you've spent it all, you know, emotionally, all your words at work. And so you just feel like a failure. And then the enemy comes to us, you know, in John 10, 9 and 10, that Jesus says, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you an abundant life, or a full life. I think part of the way that that looks for us as Christ followers is the enemy comes and tries to knock our legs out from under us as parents, tries to make you feel like, you know, the parent that you are today, that's who you're always going to be. So, you know what? You're always going to be the mom that yells. You're always going to be the dad that gets angry. You're always going to be the parent that manipulates. And so we just start to give up. We give in that, you know, I guess I can't ever be better than I am. And so we forget the promise in Philippians, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And so we are all on the spiritual journey, regardless if you've just given your life to Christ a month ago or like some of us decades ago. And so, which means that the promise is that every day, whether we see it or not, we're going to become a little bit more like Christ, which means I'm going to be a better dad tomorrow than I am today. You know, that you'll be a better mother tomorrow than you are today.
Yeah, I can lean into all of that. That's so very, very true. What do you refer to as the right relationship as being a golden ticket to obedience? How do you create that right relationship to have that golden ticket?
Yeah, that's one of the things we all live for, isn't it? I mean, we want to have this.
Yeah.
We so often as parents, we default to, I just want my kid to be obedient. You know, that's what I want is I want our house to be peaceful. I want our kids to not yell. I want them to not backtalk. I want them to do what I say I'm going to do, what I tell them to do. And so we start parenting toward the bent of, I just want my kids to be good. I just want my kids to be obedient. And I've told my children these exact words. I just told my daughter, my 16-year-old, this yesterday. I said, I am not concerned about you being good. I'm concerned about you being godly. And there's a big difference between the two, because good kids, good adults can be deceptive. You know, the outside we look good, and in our hearts we're deceptive. And so, you know, I think the way that we achieve that end goal of having obedient children is by living in right relationship, which means that when our kids are outside of God's boundaries, that we always have to address those boundary issues in the context of a healthy relationship, meaning we bring all of our sin back to a right relationship with God and a right relationship with each other. That we see in the very beginning that God had a right relationship with man, and that when man was connected to God, then man could have a good relationship with everyone else. And so when my kids, when they sin, instead of just addressing the sin issue, we bring it back to, how does this sin affect our family? And how does it affect us, my ability to trust you, my ability to lead you and believe in you? And so what it ends up happening is my kids, they see that their sin is not what defines them. What defines them is a right relationship with God.
I like that a lot, because that's going to take an awful lot of the struggle out of the way when you let God be the moderator.
Oh, absolutely. But it is so hard to do, though, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, it is hard to do.
Yeah. I mean, the easy thing to do is just to say, be quiet, sit down, stop yelling, listen to me. You know, we just bark out orders. But then what we end up doing is we end up parenting out of our – I talk about our end game. and how we all have an end game as a parent. But so often we never stop to articulate and really think through, what is my end game? And either our end game is going to be one of two things. It's going to be behavior modification / sin management. Like, we're trying to do one of those two things. I manage my children's sin to make sure they're not as bad as everybody else, or I try to modify their behavior. Or the other end game is going to be a transformed heart. And I can't have both. And so if I'm, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what?
Yeah,
if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will obey me. And so he knew it was all about the heart, that it starts with the heart. And when the heart is right, then right behavior follows. And so as parents, we really have to resist just focusing on the nitpicky behavior issues, and instead bring it back to, what does it mean to be in a right relationship with us and a right relationship with God? And when we do, then the principle is, then we'll see the right behavior follow.
Brian, I like that. And I think that if we, I think parents have to be intentional doing that. And I think you're helping us. Do you have any other ways of being intentional that you haven't mentioned for that?
Oh, absolutely. I think many times in our families, we, you know, we end up letting the stuff of life dictate our pace, who we're going to be as a family. Like, so often we let competitive sports, we let extracurricular activities, you know, dictate our family. You know, we even let church life dictate who we're going to be as a family. And so, you know, like my kids, they we made a commitment before we ever had kids, that every night at 6 o'clock, and of course there's going to be exceptions, but the principle was that every night at six, I'm going to be home so we can have dinner together as a family. So when we had kids, you know, we were already used to doing that as a couple. And so every night, Monday through Friday, we had dinner together. And then even when my kids got involved in scouts and, you know, community league basketball and ballet and soccer and all those things, we still did everything we could to make sure that most nights we're going to eat dinner together, instead of letting everything else dictate us. And then, you know, sadly, sometimes that even happens with church activities, is we feel such a guilt that I got to be a part of everything happening, and we end up sacrificing the own emotional and, you know, relational health of our families. We just don't connect because they're so busy doing things. And so, I mean, think about the average, the typical meal at home is 8 minutes long. That's it, 8 minutes. Mm. So for 8 minutes, we can leave the cell phones aside, you know, not bring any technology to the table, so we can just focus on a conversation with each other for 8 minutes. There was a study done a few years ago. I forget the source. I could find it for you guys later. But there was a study done concerning at-risk behavior among teenagers specifically. And it showed that families that eat at least 2 family meals a week, it cuts in half your child's potential of at-risk behavior. I'm thinking, just 2 meals a week, it's going to cut in half my child's possibility of having before-sex marriage or engaging in smoking and alcohol and, you know, digital pornography and all these things. And the reality is, it's not about the meal. I mean, we know what it's about. It's about what? It's about that time together as a family,
connecting.
You know, sitting together at the table.
Brian, this is really good stuff you're talking about. And I know in the beginning of your book, you've got this graph showing the parent role and then the child's role and how those can work hand in hand. And this goes from a highly motivated pursuit of God's heart by the child or a completely disinterested one for the child. And then on the other line going across, it's say for the parents, completely disengaged with no plan of action for their parenting and a highly engaged, clear vision and plan. How do we get this concept into the lives of the parents and the children? And how do we move those closer together?
I think sometimes as parents, you know, we all wish there was some kind of a manual, right, to sit down and just tell us, how do I do this? How do I work this out? And unfortunately, there's not, other than God's word. And so often we read those principles even, and we're like, okay, well, how does this play out in my family? And so one of the things, you know, I get to travel full time all around the country speak. I'm leaving in an hour to go hit the road, to go speak up in Kentucky for a few days to a parent group there. And one of the things I tell parent groups all over is become advocates for each other. You know, just take time at least once a quarter, you know, at your church to sit down and just talk together with no agenda, just talk together as parents to say, hey, what's working at your house? You know, what kind of conversations are you having with your kids? And what do you hear happening out in the community? And just begin to talk together, because our kids are geniuses at knowing how to make you feel like you're the only parent who's doing whatever it is that you're requiring. You know, if you're the only parent that doesn't let your middle schooler have a cell phone, you know, if you're the only parent that doesn't let your 15-year-old go on dates yet, you know, then you feel like you begin to feel alone. And so when you have these other advocates around you, these other parents and your pastoral staff, you know, just to encourage you and strengthen you that, you know, you can do this. And that, you know, this is the thought that just, I think, should startle all of us as parents, is that somehow in God's economy, that, and it doesn't tell me this in scripture, but this is, I mean, surely we can all fathom this, that in God's economy, that he has a soul up in heaven. And he's looking and he's going, okay, what is this child's best possibility of discovering his place in my world? I know, I'm going to give him to this couple. You know, meaning that the children that you have, God intentionally gave them to you. It wasn't just some cosmic accident. It wasn't a roll of the dice in heaven. That God knew what he's doing when he gave you the children that you have. Whether you have your children by birth, by adoption, or by marriage, God knew what he was doing when he knit your family together. And so that should encourage us as parents. You know, when we get a new car, you know, you sit down and you read the owner's manual. You talk to other people that have that kind of car. You start reading articles about the car before you ever buy it, because you want to be as informed as possible. And so the same thing when it comes to parenting, that we always have to be sharpening our skills to become the better parent than we are today.
You talk in your book about something that I find very curious. You talk about the death of dating as a trend. You want to talk about, are you talking about, just tell us what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's one of these things that's happening. It's not a main topic of the book, is not dating, but it's one of these things that we see happening in relationships with teenagers in this millennial generation. There was a news story done about a year ago in ABC News. They were interviewing college students about their kind of the dating rituals of this millennial generation. And they would just start laughing and on camera, as he would say, well, tell me, how do you guys date these days as teenagers? And they basically said, there is no such thing as dating anymore. It's just hooking up. That there is this expectation that when you come together as teenagers, that you're supposed to engage in some kind of a sexual ritual together, whether it's intercourse or anything else, that everything is on the table. And I really believe that in large part what's happened is because of the proliferation of technology. And I have a whole book about this called Tech Savvy Parenting. It's been the bestseller in the country when it comes to technology and parenting, Tech Savvy Parenting. And so what's happening is now the average child's first exposure to digital pornography is between 9 and 11. And we got, you know, the most popular dating website out there. Actually, it's a hookup app where the intention of the app is to, you know, to meet someone else for a sexual liaison. And there's 4.5 million children between 14 and 17 that are active users of the app. And so what's happening is now our kids,
what's the name
they're
of the
having
app
conversations.
So we
can... Yeah, it's called Tinder is the app.
T-I-N-D-E-R.
I mean, imagine that. You got T-I-N-D-E-R. You got 15-year-olds.
Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, who are 15-year-olds who are getting on this app, and they are – you no longer have to have this awkwardness of meeting and getting to know one another and then starting a relationship. That instead, people are having – teenagers are having Tinder parties. Or we could just go on the app. And I can say what my proclivities are, and you say what you're interested in doing. And so we can all meet together, you know, at the party, and the app is already going to tell us who is here that's ready, that's willing and ready. And so there's no longer need to date anymore. We can just get together.
I didn't know about that.
Oh, it is absolutely insane. The other one, there's a couple others. One's called Whisper. One is called Secret. And what these apps do is they're all anonymous apps. And so no one knows who the other person is. Everyone is just assigned a picture. And so you might be the Christmas tree and I might be the snowflake. You know, we don't, it just assigns you a picture. And then you can set your parameters like as small as 100 yards so that you could see, I want to know everyone else on here within 100 yards of me, meaning that we're all going to get together in the same house or the same place, meet at the food court. And then we can say, hey, who else is here that's looking for a hookup? Who else is here that's, you know, wanting to go and do drugs together, whatever it is. And so now we don't have to know each other. Because we've already agreed that this is why we're coming together, is for this purpose. Yeah.
Do you
so,
have anywhere a list of those apps for parents?
Yes. If
how
you want to go to
know.
Text, you can go to TechSavvyParenting.com.
Mm-hmm.
TechSavvyParenting.com, which is also the name of the book. And on there,
yeah.
you're going to find dozens and dozens of free resources that you can download as a parent. Our main ministry website is called 360family.org, 360family.org, and
okay.
it's going to have a lot of the information from how you always meant to parent. But the Tech Savvy Parenting is going to be specific to the technology issues. And there's going to be one of the great resources on there. It's called a family cell phone contract. And what it does is it allows you, my children, when they got their first cell phone, is they had to sign a cell phone contract with my wife and I before they could sign up for social media. They had to sign a social
yeah.
media contract because I had to sign a contract in order to carry the phone out of the cell phone store. So if I had to sign a contract, it makes sense that my children would need to as well. And so you can download that and then just, you know, put in your own criteria. And then that way, whenever you and your children, you know, you get to their first cell phone, there's some built-in accountability there.
Well Brian,
really
we are
practical.
Out of
really
time.
Practical.
Maxine, do you have something you want to ask Maxine real
well,
fast?
Well, I just want
Maxine.
To say you have really brought a lot of things to the table that I think parents will
yes.
appreciate knowing today. And how can they get a hold of you or find you in some of your speaking engagements around the country? Because listeners, we're talking with Brian Hausman
yeah.
about parenting, and he's got many, many books and places he's going to be talking. So please give us a little bit of an idea about that.
Yeah, I'm going to be up there not too far from you guys next week up in Seattle, Washington. I'll be speaking
okay.
at a church there in Seattle for I'll be doing a presentation, a school assembly at a public school. I do a lot of stuff at public and private schools.
What school?
And so I knew you would ask that. I can't remember
you
the name
know.
Of the school. Yeah,
my
if you go
principal.
Okay, if you want
yeah.
to go to 360family.org, the schedule is printed on the
okay,
website.
Okay, good.
But
yeah.
I'll be speaking at a public school, and then the next night, that's on Thursday, then on Friday, we're doing a tech-savvy parenting event at a church there in the area is paying for me to go to a high school to do it for all the PTA groups at the high school.
Wow.
And then we're doing
a
How You Always Meant to Parent workshop at the church on Saturday. And then guest preaching on Sunday. And so, yeah, 8 of the last 9 weekends, I've been on the road all around the country, you know, doing parent workshops and seminars.
Wow.
And so if your church is interested or your school is interested, you know, you're more than willing to go to 360family.org. That's 360family.org or to techsavvyparenting.com. And there is a event request form that you can just fill out to contact me, and we can talk about doing something with your group in the future.
Do you know the
Thank
name of the
you,
church
Brian.
You'll be at in Seattle, Brian?
Oh, let me give me just 1 second. I can tell you in about 10 seconds here. It's in actually
because
it's in Sumner.
I've got 2 grandkids up there, and their parents might want to go to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Sumner, which is I think just southeast. It's like a suburb of Washington called Sumner, and it's Sumner Community Church.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
thank you
so much. I'm
well,
really excited
absolutely.
About your
ministry.
I love
it's
being
been a
on
great
the
show.
With you guys today.
Thank
yeah,
you
so
thank
much.
You.
God bless you.
Have a good
thank you.
Have
God
a good
bless
speaking
you.
You
tour.
Too.
Yeah.
All
thank
right.
you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and raising children in blended families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at the river. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.